Let's say silent prayer to prepare our hearts. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we shall commence with our family altar. Let's sing hymn 176. 176.
Gains the might of freedom, and he will help us to withstand. God will always give us the victory. God will always give us the victory. Victory. He will always give us the victory. Watching over us today, he is there to guide our way. God will always give us the victory. Vanquish every doubt and fear, for the Savior always near. God will always give us the victory. Pray and read the word each day, that his will may be bursley. God will always give us the victory. God will always give us the victory. Victory. He will always give us the victory. Watching over us today, he is there to guide our way. God will always give us the victory. Though the road be rough and long, let us raise our marching song. God will always give us the victory. When the victory we win, we will rise in hand with him. God will always give us the victory. God will always give us the victory. Victory. He will always give us the victory. Watching over us today, he is there to guide our way. God will always give us the victory.
In the name of Jesus, we shall commence with our family altar. Tonight, we will discuss Psalms number 18. We will discuss Psalms number 18. Since this Psalms number 18 is very long, we will not read it through once. We will read through it as we proceed to discuss the detail of this Psalms number 18. Psalms number 18, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we can see David's psalm or song of deliverance. And this song is actually preserved as Psalms number 18. Therefore, we can say that 2 Samuel chapter 22, it is also Psalms number 18. But of course, there are some minor variations. And then we are able to see the superscription. Let's see the superscription here. Here, we can say that this psalm is composed by David. It was composed, that is to say, here the superscription, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. So this servant, he is the king, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, so we can say that this psalms here, or that is to say, this 2 Samuel chapter 22, this David's psalm, song of deliverance, it was composed, it was composed, that is to say, when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And then it is most probably that it was also before his sin with Bathsheba. So here, this Psalms number 18, here say for the choir director. So this Psalms is to be added into the liturgy for worship in the synagogue or in the temple. And then this is a psalm, and then it is a song accompanied by musical instrument. So this psalm number 18, just now we say that it is also 2 Samuel chapter 22. There are only a certain minor variation. And then 2 Samuel chapter 22 and Psalms number 18, it actually differs in their context. We say that it is the same song, but then with minor variation. But then we can see that 2 Samuel chapter 22 and Psalms 18, it differs in their context. So David wrote the song as recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 22. It was his personal gratitude to the Lord. So at the time when David wrote, so it was his personal gratitude to the Lord. But then later we understand that this song of deliverance, it is preserved. So it is preserved as Psalms number 18. And then we can see Psalms number 18. So it is the adaptation of that song for the whole people to sing. It is a royal psalm because it celebrates the way that God has shown his love to his people by giving them the Davidic monarchy and by preserving David through many dangers. The well-being of the people and nation is actually also tied up to the offspring of David. So we can see this Psalms 18 is the adaptation of that song, but it is for the whole people, the whole congregation to sing. So it is a royal psalm. It celebrates the way that God has shown his love to his people by giving them the Davidic monarchy or the kingdom, and by also preserving David through many dangers. And then we understand the well-being of the people and nation is also tied to the offspring of David. So when God's people sing this song, this Psalms number 18, so they were to give thanks for the Davidic line and to pray that his heir would be faithful to the Lord and would be valiant military leaders, so that Israel might carry out its God-given purpose and be magnified among the nations. Once again, so when God's people sing this song, so they were to give thanks for the Davidic line and to pray that his heir would be faithful to the Lord and would be valiant military leaders, so that Israel might carry out its God's given purpose and be magnified among the nations. 2 Samuel 22 and Psalms 18, they are the same with minor variation, but it differs in context. While David wrote the song, it was his personal gratitude to the Lord. But when it was preserved in Psalms number 18, so this is a royal psalms to be sung by the people to thank God for this Davidic monarchy and to preserve the Davidic monarchy through dangers. And then how they hope that the heir of David, his offspring, would be faithful to the Lord and would be valiant military leaders so that Israel might carry out his God-given purpose and be magnified among the nations. Now, let us go through this psalm. This psalm we can see that there's this introduction. Verses 1 to 3, we can see the introduction. And then the conclusion, of course, verses 46 to 50. And then beside this introduction and conclusion, we can say that the song is composed of three major divisions. Firstly, the Lord's deliverance of David from his enemies, verses 4 to 19. And then secondly, the moral grounds for the Lord's saving help, verses 20 to 29. And then lastly, we can see the Lord's help recounted in verses 30 to 45. So, beside the introduction and the conclusion, so this song is composed of three major divisions. Okay, now let us go through these psalms. Let us see the first part, the introduction. The first part, the introduction, verses 1 to 3. So this is a prelude of praise. This is a prelude of praise. Verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. I am safe from my enemies. So here, we can see that it is a prelude of praise. And then, here we can also see David's, that is to say, his conviction of faith. His conviction of faith. He believed that the Lord is his rock, his fortress, his deliverer. The Lord is his shield. The Lord is his strength, his salvation. So he will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And then he experienced, he believed, I am safe from my enemies. So this is the introduction. Now let's see the content of the song. The first part, verses 4 to 19. Here we can see the Lord deliverance of David from his enemies. Let's read verses 4 to 6. Verses 4 to 6. Here we can see God's heard the cry for help. The cords of death encompass me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrify me. The cords of Sheol or the grave surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I call upon the Lord and cry to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. So here, verses 4 to 6, we can see God heard his cry for help. God heard his cry for help. And then, in verses 7, verses 7 onwards to verse 15, verses 7 to 15, here we can see how the Lord came to the aid of his servant. And then here we can see it is pictured or depicted in a manifestation or divine manifestation, how God, as if he is the heavenly warrior, descending in wrath to attack David's enemies. How God, he sweeps down upon them like a fierce thunderstorm. So, in this verses 7 to 15, we can see how the Lord came to the aid of his servant, and then how it is depicted in this fearful divine manifestation of the heavenly God, like the heavenly warrior, descending in wrathful attack upon David's enemies, and then how God swept down upon them like a fierce thunderstorm. Let's see verse 7. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed, and the heavens also, and came down with thick darkness up under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, he passed his thick clouds, hailstone and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstone and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and rooted them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostril. So here, it pictured to us how the Lord came to the aid of his servant in answering to his prayer. So it depicts to us this fearful manifestation, divine manifestation. God, just like the heavenly warrior descending in wrath to attack David's enemy, and then how he sweep down upon the enemies like a fierce thunderstorm. And then verse 15, perhaps also recall the great deed of this heavenly warrior God when he defeated Israel's enemy at the Red Sea. How the channels of water appeared, the foundations of the world were laid bare at the Lord's rebuke, at the blast of the breath of the nostril. Also how God delivered his people in the past. This is how also God will deliver David. And then verse 16 to 19, we can see the deliverance. How he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad space. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So here we can see how the Lord delivered this David. And then let's see the next part, verses 20 to 29. Here, now it discusses the moral grounds for the Lord's saving help. So in verse 19, the Lord answered David, the Lord rescued him because he delighted in David. How was the Lord delighted in David? So verses 20 to 29, we can see the moral grounds for the Lord's saving help. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hand, he has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his ordinances were before me. I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyes. So we can see David's righteousness rewarded. And that was 25 to 29. God respond to man in kind. What kind of man we are, this is how the Lord respond. With the kind, you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself a stub. And you save an afflicted people. But haughty eyes you abase, for you light my lamp. The Lord, my God, illumines my darkness. For you, I can run upon a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. So here we can see the moral grounds for the Lord's saving act. Let's see the last part. The next part, 30 to 45. Here we can see the Lord's help recounted. How David's deliverance in verse 16 to 19 came by way of military expertise and bravery, which was a gift of God. Verse 30 to 36. So here we can see, by God's blessing, David, the king, has strife. As for God, his ways is blameless. The word of the Lord is right. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For what is God? Who is God but the Lord? And who is rock except our God? The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and set me upon my high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great. You enlarge my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. So here we can see by God's blessing, David, the king, has thrived. And then verse 37 to 42. With God's help, David has crushed all his foes. I pursued my enemies and overtake them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. I shattered them so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet. For you have girded me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also made my enemies turn their backs to me. And I destroyed those who hated me. They cried for help, but there was none to save. even the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I emptied them out as mere of the street. So how? With God's help, David has crushed all his foes. And then verse 43 to 45, how God had made David the head of the nations. You have delivered me from the contention of the people. You have placed me as head of the nation, a people whom I have not known or served me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. Foreigners submit to me. Foreigners fade away and come trembling out of their fortress. So here we can see, verses 30 to 45, the Lord's help recounted. And then the last part, the conclusion, we can see God is faithful to his anointed king. The Lord live and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation, the God who execute vengeance for me and subdue people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord. I will give praises, sing praises to your name. He gives great deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. So here we can see the conclusion, how God is faithful to his anointed king. So this Psalms number 18, we can see it is David's personal gratitude to the Lord, but how when the congregation sing, they sing about how God bless the Davidic monarchy, and then hopefully his heir would remain faithful to the Lord. As valiant military leaders and to fulfill what God wants them to fulfill. But here in these Psalms, we can learn a very important lesson about prayer. How we live our life relates to how the Lord will answer. Just like David, we can see the moral ground for the Lord's saving help is because of what type of person, what kind of man he is. So God is to him, especially from verses 20 to 29. So today, how we live our life, our daily spiritual nurture cultivation, will also in a way determine how the Lord will respond to our prayer. So we thank God. Now we will pray in our prayer. Continue to pray that the Lord keep God bless each and everyone. In the name of Jesus, we will pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hadi kedi 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 ked
Get the
Let us all recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give thanks to our Lord. Our family altar tonight will end here. God bless. God take care. Peace. Amen.